Hi there, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you at The Positive Mind. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Yesterday, I proposed that there is a persona that relates to our society today and to what's happening in our world, our financial world. And I propose that there's a kind of depression that's coming on, and it's a kind of a general depression. Not a depression like, you know, the depression of 29, but a mood. And if you look around you, certain people have this mood, and of course if you look in certain other communities, other people don't have this mood at all. I went into a garage the other day and I asked a man, I said, business falling off? He said, oh no. He said, we have more cars than ever. We don't have enough parking spaces for people. Meaning that there's one place that doesn't suffer and a few places that don't suffer. So the question today is about the group of people who perceive the world through the glasses of darkness. And they see this world and they say, oh my God, things are falling apart. As they are. I mean, things are falling apart. But if everybody were to get together and just talk about how bad it is, you would surely create some kind of a sinkhole. You know, you would create some kind of a depression in the earth. If we sat around all day and talked about how bad it is, and we talked about how it's important to be realistic, we would eventually just go through the floor. Because here's what happens. When you allow yourself to perpetuate depression by speaking about depression and feeling depression, and you don't have a choice, your chemistry works in such a way as to bring you into a deeper depression. That's why depressed people are better off when they don't talk. I mean, when they're talking about the things they're depressed about, you know, they're sharing it, oh, I can't stand it because this is bad and that's bad and this is bad and that bad. It kind of sets the pathways a little deeper. Unless you're with a skilled therapist. Skilled therapists will take that and actually work new pathways with you, showing you some way of reframing it. So, going back to this idea that there's a feeling, a sense out there of depression. If you look around you, you know, this Friday is called Black Friday. And it's the day that all retail sales are judged by, which is the Friday after Thanksgiving. They're expecting there to be nobody in the stores. They're expecting that they're going to be down 10 to 20% in sales. They're expecting that it's going to be a very depressing season. So you're going to have things, you're going to have them out there punching up the Christmas tree lights and trying to get you to spark up and feel better and come in and spend your money, you know, and you're going to be there and saying, well, you know, I better wait. I don't know how much money I've got left. I don't even know if my bank is going to be open. So this mood that's out there is pervasive. It is very hard to keep a positive attitude in the face of it because things do fall apart. Things that you love fall apart. Programs fall apart. Loving, tender things fall apart. You know, I mean, things that you care a great deal about fall apart. People lose their jobs. They lose their insurances. So here are the symptoms of depression. The symptoms of depression is a sense of loss, a sadness, a sense of powerlessness. Very important. I can't do anything about it. A sense of self-criticism. It's my fault. I did it. I should have gone short. You know, I should have bought, I should have, could have, would have, should have sold my house. You know. And then there's this obsessive thinking. Your mind just won't shut off. These are all signs of that kind of a depression. Now, yesterday our guests who were with us talked about this kind of depression as being the kind of a reaction that happens, that when it happens mainly in a manic depressive society. A society that went all the way up to the manic side, the irrational exuberance of spending like crazy and borrowing, to the depression of of, oh, my God, it was all a mistake. It was all an illusion. I'm sunk. I'm down at the bottom. And like any shrink, when you look at somebody who's going from one to the other, you say the truth is somewhere in the middle. It's not at either extreme. How do people, when they are depressed, look to find a way out of their depression? This is a very important question. Not how do you get out of your depression, but what do you think happens to people? Well, you know, if you get a serious depression, if you get a societal depression, it really lends itself to a kind of a mood of apathy and dullness. And when you feel dull and you feel like you can't, life isn't worth living, you don't enjoy things anymore, you just get duller and duller and duller. And you know what you wait for? You wait for a spark. You wait for something that makes you feel. Did you ever hear about people who cut themselves with razors and knives? And they just cut themselves, and you heard about it. It's called cutting. We treat that a lot. It's usually people who cutters, they're called cutters. Usually cutters are people who can't feel much. And they cut so that they could feel. You see, you hurt yourself so that you could feel, because you're numb. That's why I think the people who go see the most extreme horror movies are generally depressed people. They're looking to feel something. Or the ones who go to the saddest movies. They're looking to feel something, because in a depression, even though it's a lousy mood, you don't feel much. You're numb. Depression. You depress the feelings. It's a down feeling, but you're numb. So what are the movies? Now look at this. In this kind of society, what happens just now, James Bond film comes out, and it gets scores, more points and everything than anybody. Of course, filled with energy, filled with aggression, filled with nonsensical stuff. You know, what are you doing? Who are you shooting? Why are you shooting them? Who are you having sex with? What's going on? Whatever that is, as it speeds by, you get this nice, depressed audience who sits there and watches it. And then they kind of walk out kind of a little bit awake. Now, to change this, to give you a different point of view, you take a group of people who were all up, like in the 80s and 70s, when they were all hyper and very energetic, and you give them a movie like Rocky, you know, and they're cheering in the aisles, and they're standing up and they're singing, because they're not coming from depression. They're coming from this kind of joined manic place. So I say to you, my friends, people are going to be looking for an antidote to their depression that they have. You know what happened in the Second World War? God forbid we should mention it. But during the Second World War, Germany, you know, came out of losing the First World War, went into a deep, deep depression. The people were so depressed. If you ever read Buddenbrooks by Thomas Mann, you kind of get a sense of what it was like in the society. And then along come the Nazis and Hitler and aggression, and they say, ah, have we got an enemy? You know, let's go get an enemy. And everybody kind of says, great, and they follow along. It didn't turn everybody, every German, into an aggressive maniac who wanted to kill Jews. But it did give them a spark. It gave them a lift. It gave them somebody to follow. We look for somebody to follow. We are dying now to say, Obama, give us air. You know, give us something to drink. Be our salvation. Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. And he very well may. But it's putting a big load on there. You know, last year, when there was all this abundance, everybody was going to motivational speakers. You remember Tony Robbins and all these motivational speakers on TV? And they get on TV and they're going to motivate you. Now, this is what happened. You know, the world was being exuberant. Right? They were spending money like crazy. Everybody was having a lot of everything. People had 2 houses, 3 houses, 4 houses. They didn't own any of them. They were hocking them and fixing them. And, you know, pimp my house and sell it. That kind of thing was going on. And then somebody would come along who was, you know, and you'd see that they would tap into your fear that you were being left behind. And they'd say, I'll sell you a course, or I'll sell you a book on how to do this. And the only people who made money were the people who sold the courses and the books, not the people who sold the houses. So they would encourage you, motivational speakers. A motivational speaker is a person who has enough energy to lift you out of your depression. That's what motivational speakers do. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm giving you enough energy that, you know, it's going to give you a little bit of a lift. But it's short because, you know, the lift is inside you. And if you're waiting for somebody to pull you up, it's not going to work too well. I wish it would. Another thing that people love when they are sliding into a non-feeling depression, romance. Oh, give me a relationship. Give me something to think about. Let me focus my mind on that person. Romance and sex, you know, let me think about that. Oh, I can't wait to get together with her or him. And it's the answer to my life, and it lifts my spirit, and it gives me a whole bunch of new chemicals inside my body that are the antidote to the kind of chemicals that were there before. I was recently listening to a program on PBS where NPR. Thank you very much, my producer, Stephanie Dombra. About people taking walks in the park. You know, very important thing when you're depressed. Not get a breath of fresh air. Not take that long walk for your, you know, constitution. Not that. Be in nature. Something happens to the human body when you're in nature. Something happens to your cortisol levels. Something happens to your stress hormones. When you're just in nature, for some reason, they studied people. They found two things happen. Number one, people manifest more intelligence. Their brains work better if they spend a little time in nature. And number two, people feel better. They don't feel as depressed if they spend some time in nature. So now, why does that happen? Well, part of it has to do with the season as well. When you get a shorter season, you get a shorter light season. Being out in nature gives you exposure to more light, number one. And number two, there's this whole thing. You remember negative ions that we talked about in nature, that if you're around a lot of machinery, you get positive ionization in the air, and negative ionization is essential. It gives you that sense of kind of ozone, fresh feeling. Negative ions in nature, they affect you in a certain way. You are made of chemicals. You are made of ions, and they get charged. So nature is another thing that people reach out to. And it's a nice thing. I mean, take a walk down by the river if you have to, or, you know, get into a park. But be outside. Another thing that people do is they look for a crisis or create a crisis. Now, you know, Bernie said it yesterday on the air. Nothing saves depression like a crisis. If you're in depression and you're laying around and you don't know what to do and you're depressed and somebody yells fire, you get up and you're not depressed anymore. Ooh, fire, I better get outside, get the marshmallows. You know, whatever it is that you do, you kind of feel motivated by crisis. So very often people create crisis so that they can kind of lift themselves out of this slow, depressive movement towards death. We're going to be taking your calls in just a couple of minutes, my friends. 212-209-2900 is the number here. This is Armand Demel with you on WBAI Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. 212-209-2900. Couple of minutes, we'll take those calls. And I'll tell you why we want your calls as well. What do you do to keep your spirits alive? What do you know you need to do? Now, a lot of you are going to say, I got to exercise and eat well. Let's leave that one alone. Because I know a lot of depressed people who exercise and eat well. Right? But I do know people when they are depressed, they tend not to exercise and not to eat well. Because you kind of lay there, you know? You're like a wounded beast. You know, you're a wounded beast and you're laying around and you don't have the energy to get up and cook fresh vegetables, so you open a can. You know, it's the wounded beast in us, that depressed self. Or we look for somebody to motivate us. Or we look for somebody to chase us. Or we look for leaders. Sometimes, this is really interesting in a family. If a family comes to me and the child is manifesting a problem, like the child gets busted for drugs or the child gets some kind of school problem. Very often I'll look in the family and I'll find that somebody is depressed in the family, that there is a person in the family who is depressed. And what you'll find very often, this is kind of interesting, it's called systems theory, that a child very often looks at the family and says, this family needs a solution because mommy is depressed or daddy's depressed and they're falling apart. I will become a focus of a problem so they could focus on me. So that'll keep them from being depressed. It's called the designated sick one in the family. The designated patient can become any child in their unconscious attempt to save the family. Can manifest psychological disturbance. So very often, if people come to me with their children, I want to see the whole family. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. How is it in your family? You know, maybe you saved your family. Maybe you saved your parents by being a problem. Do you ever think of all the energy that had to go in your direction if you were a problem child? 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls around this issue of remedies for depression. You know, vulnerability to risk is, it's like people who are depressed tend to want to take risks. They tend to want to gamble. They tend to want to find something that's really going to spark them up. What do you do? What do you do? Now, don't just give me your healthy answers. Give me your crazy answers so that maybe people could share with you, you know? 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Very difficult when we get the first call in. 212-209-2900. Hi there.
Okay, I turned off my radio. This is
Paulette. Hello, Paulette.
I watch SpongeBob SquarePants to cheer me up.
What is that? What does that do for you? Is it silly?
It is. It's very silly.
And
I don't eat healthy at all when I'm depressed. After my husband died, I lived on cheese and crackers for 10 months. And even at that, I lost weight. I lost 20 pounds. So.
Some metabolism you must have there.
Well, I just didn't eat that much.
You didn't eat that much at all. Okay, so tell me something. What's your name again?
Paulette.
Paulette.
Yeah, we spoke before.
I remember. Hey, Paulette, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were SpongeBob, what would you be saying to me right now?
Oh.
I'll tell you what. Be SpongeBob giving Paulette advice.
Be SpongeBob giving Paulette advice. He would say, let's go out and into nature, and he would go jellyfishing, which is like catching butterflies.
All right, so be him now. Don't
okay.
Talk about him. Be him. Give me his voice.
Let's go outside and play.
Let's go outside and play. Yeah. Let's go outside jellyfishing.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Let's see.
And what does Paulette say back to him?
I say, okay, let's go.
Okay. So you're waiting for a hand to invite you out. And if there's a SpongeBob out there who happens to be passing your neighborhood, who happens to be a specialist in jellyfishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do bring Paulette along.
Yeah, I'd like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you've been feeling low, Paulette? Have you been feeling
low? Oh, I take myself out in nature. And unfortunately, it just reminds me that Al's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So we used to go out in nature a lot.
So that's part of the downside of it, as Al's absence, or the absence of Al.
Yeah.
But you recreated him, you know. You did. You put him in SpongeBob. You did. That's why you watch SpongeBob. Because SpongeBob is Al.
Yeah, he did cheer me up a lot.
That's right. Well, good. Next time you see SpongeBob, you'll think of Al directly.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to talk to you, Paulette. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
212-209-2900. So she points to a beautiful thing there, right? Great loss, depression, right? Loses Al, can't find Al, sees it on TV. I must be a SpongeBob to somebody. You know, Armand DeMille on the air, people have told me, oh, I listen to you every day. I listen to all your, you know, all the podcasts. I must be somebody's SpongeBob. I must be a replacement for somebody in somebody's life. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, WBAI.
Hi there. Yes, Armand DeMille.
Just want to turn on my radio 1 second.
Waiting a second for a man to turn down his radio. But we can't have the dead air in between. So
hi, Armand.
Hi there. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Reggie.
Hello, Reggie.
And what I do, and I know it's really terrible, is I eat extreme chocolate food, particularly Häagen-Dazs, chocolate ice cream bars, Entenmann, extreme chocolate cake, any extreme chocolate mousse type things. I mean, like extreme. I just finished one of these Entenmann super chocolate shakes with the candy in it. I know what it is.
Reggie, do you know as we speak, Godiva is giving away free truffles?
Where?
From 1 to 3 o'clock at any Godiva store.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'll see you. I'll talk to you another time. I promise. I just saw the ad. Between 1 and 3 o'clock today, Godiva is giving away free truffles.
I will be at the Seaport store. Thank you so much.
You see, Reggie, I told you this was going to be a cure today.
If you could explain the mechanism of
that. Sure, there's a chemical, okay? There is a chemical very specific in chocolate that touches very directly to the brain in a very specific way. There's a key in the brain. Is it a theophylline?
I haven't heard of theophylline.
No, wait, I tell you, my researcher's right. He's going to tell me. She's got a word. And it's a very specific thing that goes with chocolate, and it's the one that mimics, believe it or not, the feeling of chocolate that you get from chocolate is similar to the feeling you get when you're in love. And
wow.
So people use chocolate when they are, very often, when they're looking for the love chemicals. Not that you're looking for love itself, but you're looking for the feeling that you get when you have love, which is this feeling of safety and feeling of calmness and connected. Plus, it's got energy and it's got caffeine in it, so it puts it all together. And it's like, add this all together and you fill your belly and you wind up saying to yourself, well, I've eaten, so therefore I'm safe. I have these chemicals rushing through my body, so I'm loved in some kind of way. And it's pure primitive reaction.
Wow.
Pure primitive. I mean, you're like a slave to your chemistry. It is not that you're addicted to some funny kind of thing. Phenylalanine, that's what it is.
Wow. But it works. It appears to be legal. I'm a heavy Starbucks espresso macchiato.
Yeah, you're a druggist. You're a chemist. You know what I mean? That's what you're doing. But everybody is. I mean, if you eat green juice, you're a chemist. If you drink green juice, you're a chemist. You're somebody who's saying, I got to get by in this world. And Reggie says it's okay. World is okay, but boy, world without a spark is not okay.
Right.
So my spark has got to come from chocolate and coffee. And go ahead, Armand. I defy you to judge me. I defy you to tell me I'm a bad guy, because I tell myself I'm a bad guy all the time. And you know what I say to you, Reggie? I say to you, get thee to a chocolate shop.
Armand, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the Godiva tip, and your show is absolutely excellent.
Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks again.
Right, Reggie.
Bye.
212-209-2900. You know, there's another thing that happens. Very often, people who are depressed are inviting judgment. They kind of want somebody to give them advice, and I've always figured this out. This is kind of an interesting thing. There are people who are depressed, who have a depressing situation, or they create a depressing situation, like they're dating or living with the wrong person, and they go and they complain to their friends. And their friends give them advice, get rid of the bum, drop them, dump them, get somebody else, go away. And then what happens is they ignore the advice, and they dig into their trenches deeper. It's almost like a person's in love with their depression. And they have a relationship with their depression, and then they defy everybody to try to take it away. Go ahead, give me advice. Tell me what to do. And then people don't, they tell you what to do and you don't do it. And then you kind of dig in a little deeper. So, my friends, when you think about the fact that there is somebody who's asking for advice on what to do, you know, you don't have to bite the bait. You could just love them and not give them the advice that's going to make them wrong. Because really, everybody's doing as good as they can, huh? They're doing the best they can. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Armand DeMille, you have a great show. I've been listening through for quite a while.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like you to know that I came across a book a few years ago, which I've been using, and it's called A Course in Miracles.
Oh, I know it well. Judy Scutch.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book, and it really helps a person peel back the things in the mind that really create negativity.
Well, wait, now what's your name?
Eddie.
Eddie, A Course in Miracles, like The Secret, like all the other books that are out there, they are not books for people. Let me tell you why. This is a book for Eddie. When Eddie found A Course in Miracles, Eddie was at a place where he couldn't let go of anything, where he couldn't let things be. When these writings came about, and I remember because I was part of the original discovery in the 70s of the very writings of The Course in Miracles, and when they came about, people looked at them and said, you see, you just got to let go. And it was basically it. Now, the let go theory kind of goes through all of the New Age following that. But so what? So you give that book and you give that book to somebody else and you say, why are you, why doesn't somebody else need to give it to your mother? Say, hey, Mom, here's a book, read this. And she doesn't read it. And you say, why won't you read it? Because this is a great book and it'll save your life. No, this was Eddie's book. This did wonders for Eddie. And it does wonders for the people who are receptive and open to it. At the moment, and I'll tell you something, by the time you get the book, The Course of Miracles, you've already learned the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you've learned a great lesson through it.
Yes, I have.
You know, and what about the other books, like The Secret and...
I've read books similar to it, like The Disappearance of the Universe.
Sure.
And I found there's a lot of mention of The Course in Miracles in that particular book also. I've been into spiritual things all my life.
I hear.
Searching.
But
and
where was your father?
I found a lot of answers, but I'll tell you that.
Eddie, where was your dad?
Where was what?
Where was your father? He does sound like he wasn't anywhere to be seen.
Oh, yeah, he was here.
Where?
Yeah,
Were you close to him?
Very.
And is he still with you now?
No.
When did he die?
Been gone. He passed away in the 70s.
So since the 70s, you've been very open to spirituality.
No, I've been open to it all my life, basically. I've been searching all my life in different ways. I've been brought up in the Bible, you know, in the religion. I'm Jewish, and I have brought up in the Old Testament. But I got into the New Testament, into studies of Buddhism and Hinduism, and, you know, all the things that people search for if they're really trying to find answers to life. And I found a lot of answers in the process of these other teachings, but I find that the epitome is in this book, A Course in Miracles.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Great. Well, I'm glad for you, and people will check it out. One more thing, Eddie. You got a love in your life?
Yes. My beloved wife.
Yeah, how wonderful. Does she share your feelings?
Yes, she is. She's a very spiritual person.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Eddie, thank you for listening in. We've got to take a short break.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Sure. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to, what are we going to do? Oh, when we come back, I'll play a little music, and I'm going to take more calls talking about this, what people are doing for themselves and how they're keeping their spirit alive and how people sometimes try to keep their spirit alive, but they forget to count their chocolates. You know what I mean? Do you really think Reggie's running over to Godiva? Was that Reggie? Yeah, I think that was Reggie. Hey, listen, my friends, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It's not a laughing matter. I do keep a light tone about it because I have a light heart. I can look at the most serious, depressing, there are stories that I hear and see in life as people are present themselves to me in one form or another. It would kill you. I mean, it's just so horrible what people have gone through. But somehow there's a way to find your spirit, to find that part of you that gets through this all. There is a part of all of us that is loving and beautiful, and we're just looking to find ways to find it. I'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. This is Arlon DeMille. Be back with you in a couple of minutes. Change, change, change. It's Santana you hear in the background, my friends. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Arlon DeMille here with John Lee Hooker, Santana, and you. We've been talking about depressing times and how people keep their head above water, and you will notice that I, as unholistic as it possibly could do it, recommended that Reggie, who is sitting in his house eating Entenmann's, I recommended he go run over to get some free chocolate they're offering at Godiva. But you see, secretly behind that, I know Reggie was going to run. So at least he's got the exercise of getting outside of his house and getting over to the South Street Seaport, where they're going to give him one chocolate. It's like trained animals. Phenylphthalamine, says Stephanie Dombra, and serotonin in chocolate are said to elicit the same reaction in the brain as an orgasm. The dopamine trigger has been compared to a mild dose of opium. Just picture that. You know, you get these little chocolates on your pillow at night if you're really lucky and you stay in a hotel. Here's a little dose of opium. Here's a little phenyl. Phenylphthalamine always gave me a problem. Now, this is phenylphthalamine. So this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Chocolate, huh? 212-209-2900. We bring you very serious programming most of the time, and today is a serious day, too, because people are feeling bad. And I want to help them out. I want to walk with them. I'm not going to walk with them by advising them. I had a man who came to see me earlier today. I hope he's listening, my good friend. And he said to me, why don't you just straighten people out and tell them? And he said, look at that face on Oprah when when Obama won the election. She was hanging on to somebody and smiling in such an adoring way. And he said, what was she smiling like that for? I mean, didn't she realize it was a politician being elected? What is that look on her face? And I said to him, my dear friend, that look on her face was about achievement. Was about something she hoped happened. Was like Jesse Jackson crying. I said, but would you take away their dream? Would you burst their bubble? Did you want to go out there and say, wake up, Oprah, this is just another politician? Did you want to go out there and did you want to say to everybody, what's the matter with you all? Are you stepping away from reality? This is still a mess and it's just another manifestation of the mess. And that's what he does. He goes around and he challenges everybody. He tells everybody that they're looking at the matrix and he sees reality. And so whatever they're happy about, he tells them, don't be happy about that because, you know, any day now, it's going to hit the fan. And when it hits the fan, you're not going to be prepared. Get out there and be prepared. That's what he keeps telling everybody to do. But then they don't want to talk to him any longer. Here he comes, the guy, the doomsday guy. And it's interesting because he's a beautiful man. But he's caught in this place where he believes that it's all darkness, which I understand. He said to me something very interesting. He said he saw a man on TV who he thought was really great, a great commentator. He said, but then, you know, just the guy was just say a couple of things, and he realized that guy was a phony. Now he looks at that guy, and every time he sees him on air, he feels like he could regurgitate. He feels he gets sick to his stomach. He said, I loved him one minute, and the next minute, I just hated him. I couldn't stand him. And I looked at this man who I know loves me, this man who thinks highly of me, and I said, do you realize that in your lifetime, one day you're going to look at me and feel the same way? Because all you have to do is find in me some kind of fatal flaw, and you're going to turn on a dime. And all that love that you have now, all that caring, all that friendship you feel for me, that's going to turn away. And he said, that could never happen. And I said, that does happen. Yeah, I deal with a lot of people. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
I love your wonderful ideas and thoughts.
Oh,
and
thank you,
whenever
Sam.
I have time, I listen. So,
where are you from?
I'm originally from Germany. I'm in New York City since 2000.
Ah, German people like me a lot because I make no sense.
Oh, you make a lot of sense.
I know I make a lot of sense. Yeah, what part of Germany are you from? Frankfurt? Are you from Frankfurt?
No, Munich.
From Munich, down by
Munich.
Munchkin.
Yes.
All the way down there, one of my favorite sections.
Yeah, it's beautiful there.
Sure.
Yeah, my mother still is there, so I'm very connected. And depression. I have a lot of friends that have depression, and I always say to them, you know, as long as you focus only on your own little tiny world, you cannot step out of it. You have to reach out and do something for someone else, whether for another person or rescue an animal or whatever comes your way. There is every day millions of signs that you can grab if you are open enough. So once you shut down, you cannot see the opportunities that you have every day. So yeah, so for me,
Well, wait a minute, Senna. Wait a minute now. See, so there you are, Preacher Senna. Right? And they all listen to you, right? They get up immediately.
Yeah,
they all go outside and they say, good, I'll go take care of somebody. And
but they fall back the moment I'm not around.
So what is this? What are you, some kind of a guardian light? Are you some kind of a shining light? I mean, you have to be there every minute to keep people from being depressed?
No, I don't do that anymore. By becoming older, I found out it makes no sense. I say things once, and then I leave it alone because people repeat. They are like in a roller thing. They roll.
Because people want your advice so that they can stay the way they are.
You know, I think the real advisor is inside, and we all basically, when we really want to change something, we change it from inside. It's not that someone on the outside can tell us anything. We have to be ready to make the change.
What change are you ready to make for yourself right now? Come on, the next big leap, Senna.
I have to become a businesswoman.
Oh, my God, you must be 37.
That's pretty bad because I am an artist, and to make, to really hit it, and I have to do things that I always try to avoid.
Mm, very difficult, very difficult. You know, the artistic person, talent is really a wonderful thing to have. But talent without organization is such a tough thing.
Yeah, it's not possible. You have to be organized. I'm pretty
organized. No, it is possible. Yeah. You don't have to be organized. Who said you have to be organized? Just if you want to stay alive. Just if you want to get by. Just if you want to make money. But you could be disorganized and be talented and just live life like an artist, you know?
Yeah, but you have to pay rent and
you have to pay rent, and you want more than that out of your life.
Yeah, I wanna achieve things, and I have three dogs and six cats, and they all eat, you know. So and sometimes one or the other has a problem. I have them to check out how to manage this. So this all costs money. So money is a factor in our lives.
Well,
so
in effect, your dogs and cats are doing what I've suggested that family members do. Your dogs and cats are forcing you to be undepressed. They're forcing you
to
get up and get out and take care of them.
Right.
Right. Now, what are their names?
What are their names?
Right.
Well, the very first was a cat.
You got to go very fast, and I want every name.
Her name is Courage.
Uh-huh. And the next one?
Then there was these two passed already. One was a Jamaican mixture dog.
All right, now I'm going to just need you to say names without describing them. Just give me names.
Ali.
Uh-huh.
Lucky.
Uh-huh.
Hopi.
Mm-hmm.
She came pregnant.
No, just give me names, no description.
Okay, Sulu. Lala. Tutu. Mickey, Sunny, Mooney, Hera, and Saki.
And Saki. Isn't that beautiful? So you picked all these wonderful rhyming
names. Yeah, they
picked
me.
They picked you.
Some jumped from the roof into my apartment and decided to stay, like Mickey.
You sound like you must have an awful beautiful heart, Senna.
You know,
do you ever paint your animals all at once? Did you ever paint your animals all at once?
No, but I want to have my photographer friend make a picture with all of us together.
Oh, good. Would you send me a picture?
Oh, yes.
I'd love to see it.
You have to come visit me.
Well, I may not come visit you with all your dogs and cats wherever you live, but you could send me a photo.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Yeah, so dogs and cats and plants and all of that keeps me busy. So when I'm a little sad, I deal with my plants or with my animals, and I walk them after midnight in Prospect Park, you know. And
I hear you.
Beautiful. Yeah. And
you're a beautiful person.
It's just wonderful, and you have no time to be depressed or sad. And if I'm sad, I write a poem, or I try. I mean, this is one of the best advices, I think, for everybody. If you have this gloom and you don't know what the heck it is, and you wake up and you have already this fog, you have to just sit down and put it in words for yourself. You put it in words, and it becomes smaller. This whole huge monster suddenly becomes smaller and smaller. You do this for a week, you figure out, oh my God, this is really not such a big deal, and you can deal with it, and you put it
Thank
in
you.
Yesenia,
I'm going to tell you something. This is like the last advice. This is advice that works for Senna. It's beautiful. And it may work for other people, but it isn't a panacea. Because, you know, it's the kind of thing where people would write the poem in front of you, and then when you go away, they get back being depressed again. But I think what everybody should have is a dog like yours in the background barking.
Yes.
I mean, that certainly was a song that I was listening to. Thanks for calling in.
Welcome.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Heidi.
Hello, Heidi. I recognize your voice.
Oh, what's that?
I recognize your voice. You've called before.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's a compliment. Armand, I have a question. I'm kind of baffled. Years ago, I was in a very terrible depression, and it was an obvious depression for me. Now, I feel like the possibility that I might be depressed, but then I can respond to things with laughter and have joy if there's a situation. And years ago, I was numb. I had that numbness that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel that I'm struggling, but I still respond. So how can that you be depressed and also respond with joy and laughter?
Well, there are different levels of depression. You have a depression that you slid into that was a very serious depression, right?
Yes.
And then that you got out of it. Did you get out of that with medication?
Well, medication helped me for a short while, and then I was off it. And what really helped me, this is absolutely 100% my truth, was just being loved. I don't have family really, but by being loved by the different professionals that were helping me,
mm-hmm.
and they took great care and went beyond their call of duty to help me deal with my issues, and the love really seemed to make the difference and chip away at those.
Have you been in touch with those people?
Oh yes, I am now a friend of one,
One of the things I know that happened, Heidi. When a person is in a depression, they get into a trough, you know, they get into the bottom of it,
yes.
and then they come out of it, and sometimes that's the bottom of the trough, that's as far as it goes. So then when you begin to dip again, you become afraid that you're going to get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds to me like you've recovered from a major depression, and
yes.
that you might have a minor depression that you deal with somewhat.
Yes.
But I think you could trust yourself, and you certainly have friends to reach out to who are right near you if you need them.
Yes. I think one of the problems that I'm having, and I've told you this before, is I have a chronic illness, and I have three different autoimmune disorders, and my body's breaking down, and I'm having to face the reality that I can't care for myself any longer, at least not now. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up, but I also need care, and I think that reality is very difficult for me.
A lot of people deal with it, and a lot of people learn to let go, and they say, I need care, people are willing to give me care, I'm going
to
take it, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
what
I hope you do.
I
hope you do. Thanks for calling in.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
I just laughed when you talked about the aggressiveness, that something aggressive comes out. I did something, you talked about what brings you out of this depression, what I would call my melancholy. I put on aggressive rock and roll music.
Yes.
And just really, you know, made my spirit come up, and was good. And I sing. When I sing, play my guitar, that seems to take me out.
What do you sing?
I sometimes sing my own songs. Sometimes I put music, make my own chords to other people's poems and kind of creative in that way, and I don't sing for anybody else. I just, it's just my own pleasure for
myself.
Never
for anybody else. Do you have a particular song that you like the most?
This isn't the song that I sing, but Ravel's Bolero would be a classical song. I love Ave Maria, and I love Led Zeppelin's Kashmir.
How does that go?
Such a passionate song.
How does Kashmir go? It's not. Is it vocal or is that instrumental?
It's a lot of instrumental and it's vocal, but it's so passionate. It's like a.
What is the vocal part of it?
What's that?
What is the vocal part of that?
I don't even know. It's maybe more like moaning and screaming and something like just letting loose of your spirit. I don't remember if there are any words.
Can you give me an example of it? Come on, right now, Heidi, we're in it. What is it like?
Wow,
do that again. You said you never did that for anybody. Now you're doing it for a couple of million people. One more time. Give me the Led Zeppelin of Heidi.
Oh, thank you, Armand. Charm.
You're a pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. My name is Taliba Muhammad.
Hello, Taliba Muhammad.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm from Roselle, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I've only become aware of your program last week. The first time I heard it, I tried to get through to you, and you did not pick me up. I'm thankful that I got through today. You're talking about depression, and I'm listening to what you have to say, and I have to say to you, I have not experienced depression since I was 27 years old, and I'll be 70 next year.
Hey, good for you.
So
you must have found religion.
Well, no, I actually turned away from religion.
That's finding religion.
you're right.
I'm right.
Yeah, well, I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
But I had to turn away from religion in order to get up out of my depression.
Yeah.
Because what I was finding was that all of the demands that religion made on me took me away from the person I thought myself to be, and that was the source of my depression.
Sure.
When you have in your mind, as I did, a concept of who you were as a person, and then you try to deal with the rules and guidelines of the religion that you've chosen to guide your life, a journey takes you somewhere you don't want to be.
Yeah, you know, and it's not the religion. It's the people administering the religion.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
not the religion that's so bad. It's just the way people use it as a whip to cripple people. And you decided to get out from under.
Well, I was raised in a religious family.
Uh-huh.
And I had to turn away from that. And I turned away from that in the early years of my life, I would say when I was about 11 or 12. But at 20, I decided that something was missing out of my life, and I thought it was religion. So I tried to go back to religion, and I looked at several different religions. And in looking at the various religions, what I found was that they were basically all saying the same thing. They were just saying it a different way. And what I came to understand was that there's only one God in the whole universe, no matter what name you called him by. Also, that there is only one family in the whole universe, and that is the human family. When I say one family, I mean simply that the human family is one, and that all of these things that cause our depression, that cause our unhappiness, they're not natural things. They're not things in nature. They are things that man has devised for his own purposes, and he has perpetuated those things on the rest of humanity, and we have accepted them because we have been told that the experts know what's good for us. That's not true. That's simply not true.
You know, Taliba, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for showing us how your spirit has survived and teaching us. And thank you for joining WBAI.
Well, I have to say I'm very grateful for your program. I turn it on early in the morning, and I generally leave it on. I would call to speak on your program, and I would call for some of the
others as well.
No,
we have
no. I don't call to speak on the other programs because other people say things. And what I've also discovered
wait, Taliba, I have to be going. My time is up.
Okay,
I appreciate
you
calling, but do send me an email.
Thank you for hearing me.
Sure.
Thank you for hearing me. Bye-bye.
Sure, bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille with you. I'm so sorry I had to cut her off. But we have to be going. I'll be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. You're going to be listening to Jimmy Rushing and Dave Brubeck doing There Are Some Changes Made. If you want to be in touch with me, please contact me, Armand@BrainLink.com. Armand@BrainLink.com. It's always good to know you're listening.
Greetings, this is Savion Glover, and you're listening to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York. Enjoy.